It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Jimmy! Jimmy, who doesn't love Jimmy?
I can't stand him.
Yeah, you know what? Your phone's never right, Jay Stu. What you need to do is
stick to wrestling.
Stick to wrestling with James Stewart.
MJF is the new All Elite Wrestling World Champion as he defeated Jon Moxley in the main event of AEW Full Gear. The finish saw Moxley getting MJF to tap out with the Bulldog Choke. With a ref down, Moxley let go of the hold. Regal told Moxley to get the referee so he could win. Regal then slid MJF brass knucks for MJF to use. MJF nails Moxley, middle fingers to the crowd as he covers Moxley for the three count. MJF is now the youngest champion in AEW history at 26 years old, and he had these post-show comments.
Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
Oh, he's here.
You wait your turn, baby. People pay to see me, not you. Let's talk, shall we? AEW is now destination television once again. The ship has been steered properly once again. This belt is now the most important belt in this entire sport. And it stakes the three letters. And it damn sure ain't AEW. I know for a motherfucking fact it ain't MOX. It's MJF. God damn, you people are fucking dumb, man. No offense. No offense. You had sympathy for the devil? What are you, fucking stupid? You morons bit on every single word I had to say this past couple of months, huh? I want to earn it. I want to fuck that. I deserve it, because I'm the best wrestler in the fucking world. And every single one of you know it. On the microphone, in the ring, nobody can touch me. That's a fact. Nobody is on my level. And then, to think you guys still believe me when I put over this motherfucker this past Wednesday? Grow the fuck up. No offense. Grow up. Now let's talk a little bit, huh?
MJF, what's going on with you and Regal? You know, we're all really interested. What's going on? How'd that link up start? You think I'm gonna tell you, dumb motherfucker?
Huh? With 70,000 fucking hardcore marks watching at home, jerking off in their grandma's basement? Huh? To my velvet voice? You think I give a shit? No, if you want to know anything about the most important man in professional wrestling, you gotta tune in to the MJF show. That's every Wednesday on TBS. And you know damn well that is now Destination TV. Now, here's what's gonna fucking happen, okay? I'm gonna take a shower. I'm gonna get all of Moxie's disgusting hepatitis A through Z off of me. And then in the morning, I'm gonna do what nobody else on the roster does because I'm the only real fucking star here. I'm gonna hop on a jet and I'm gonna go to my goddamn movie set. Anybody got any questions? Huh? Just kidding. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. Champs fucking out, baby!
So I didn't love this match. I did appreciate the pacing of it. I appreciated the telling of a different story than some of the other matches that had faster paces. I do credit AEW for listening to the crowd here. MJF was cheered. Moxley was booed. So Moxley working this plotting, disrespectful villain style, it made sense in the context of the story for that night. The Regal turn for me was predictable, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the wrong move. I'm interested to see how Regal and MJF explain how this strategy came about. So for now, is the Blackpool Combat Club just the Combat Club? After the show ended, there was some footage of Moxley still being down, and Wheeler Yuta, Claudio, and Danielson coming out and waking up Moxley and explaining to Moxley what happened, which I thought was a neat little thing that they were still kind of doing the story even when the pay-per-view was over. The Blackpool Combat Club then walked out as a unit out the way that Moxley came in, questioning what was going on with Regal. And as you heard in MJF's press conference, they will address what's going on Wednesday night in Chicago at Dynamite. Last week, I documented why I didn't think MJF should win the AEW championship. Now that the championship is on him, I feel like we should look ahead at his opponents. And while I don't see a clear pay-per-view challenger for him at this moment, I assume Ricky Starks is going to be fighting MJF at Winter is Coming. Moxley will get a rematch at some point, and maybe that's the clear pay-per-view opponent. But for now, Moxley gets his vacation. Danielson, Claudio. I don't see Wheeler Yuta in that since MJF already beat him, but maybe for another TV match. Jungle Boy had a big win over Luchasaurus in the opening cage match, so he's in the conversation, I think. There's a Kenny Omega MJF match that I think would be amazing if we can get to that point. There's Adam Page and his comeback story from his concussion, but that might be more centered around Jon Moxley, who caused it. Adam Cole is, according to Tony Khan, healthy. So there's a match there somewhere. The longer term question for me with MJF is he going to hold the AEW championship until 2024? Is he going to hold it until this bidding war? And doesn't MJF at this point have to? Because if he's promoting the fact that he might be leaving and he's using this championship as a leverage point to get more money, storyline-wise, doesn't he have to hold it until then? Be interesting to see, for me, if MJF's got a run until 2024 in him. And that's 13 months. 13 months is of MJF as champion. Let's see if they can do it. Let's see if that's the plan. And we'll see within a year if MJF has signed an extension beyond 2024 or not. I still think that he has, but there's reporting out there to the contrary. MJF as AEW champion, I wouldn't have done it right now. I wouldn't have rewarded that bad behavior. I loved the women's championship match with Jamie Hayter defeating Toni Storm to win the championship. Simple story of roommates who no longer get along fighting, and in this particular case, fighting over a championship. This match had strong, I mean strong, false finishes. A lot of chaos, or gaga, as Pat Patterson would tell you. What I loved about the title change was this is an instance where AEW and Tony Khan are listening to the crowd and went with it, and went with Jamie Hayter. And I'm sure Toni Storm was more than happy to pass the championship on to Jamie Hayter. Tony Khan specifically has changed course based on crowd reactions. Jamie Hayter at Full Gear, there was a lot of organic love there for her work from the crowd. And I think her being an AEW homegrown talent helps. The Acclaimed is another example of this, where in Chicago, the Acclaimed, and they're selling tons of merchandise. Like, we thought that maybe they were going to change course and Swerve and Our Glory was going to drop the titles in Chicago. That didn't happen, but they made it right by having the Acclaimed win at the Grand Slam event in New York a few weeks after Chicago. But as Taz said on commentary, it took a village to beat Toni Storm. So she leaves the championship in the hands of Jamie Hayter in a strong position. Toni Storm, I thought, was an excellent working champion. She just lacks something on the promo skills. Not sure what it is, but she just doesn't have that it factor. But with everything that it took the village, as Taz said, for Jamie Hayter to leave as AEW champion. Now, going forward, the story is how Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter handle Hayter as the champion. Because in past histories, if you look at Ric Flair, was always the champion of the Horsemen. There was never a consideration that somebody else went for the title. And when Sting went for the title, Sting was quickly kicked out of the group. WWE fans might remember Randy Orton challenging Chris Benoit for the World Heavyweight Championship at a SummerSlam. Randy Orton wins, and then Randy Orton gets kicked out of Evolution because Triple H is supposed to be the one who's the world champion, not Randy Orton. That, of course, leads to a story with Orton being a villain without an island, and Batista ultimately turning and beating Triple H for the world championship at that WrestleMania. So how does that happen? How does that story work? And how does Saraya fit into this story? The artist formerly known as Paige beat Britt Baker earlier in the show in what I thought was one of these classic old school, we're going to work a body part. And because of Saraya hasn't worked a match in 5 years, the pace was slower. And Saraya even said in her post-game media press conference that Britt Baker really carried her through this match. But the story is Britt Baker's a doctor, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So she should work the body part. She should take a methodical step in working Saraya's neck. So it all made sense to me. It's just the pacing of the match, it really slowed down what I thought was a really, to that point, a really great 90 minutes, 2 hours of pro wrestling. But it all made sense. That crowd in New Jersey really wanted Jamie Hayter to win. The Chicago All Out crowd wanted to see Jamie Hayter win. And we ultimately got it. We got it at this pay-per-view at Full Gear. Jamie Hayter, in her post-game media press conference, talked about her friendship with Britt Baker and that the best rivals are sometimes friends. And she said, quote, "I'm totally open to wrestling her at any time. If she wants it, we can do it." But there's the tease.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Death Triangle defeated the Elite in what I thought was the best match of the night. This would later become the first of a 7-match series between the two teams. The second match will be this Wednesday on Dynamite in Chicago. The first team, if you're unfamiliar with the best of seven, the first team to win 4 matches will become the new Trios champions, or Death Triangle will retain. The finish saw Rey Fénix, after refusing the hammer from Pac for weeks, including earlier in this match, used it to reverse a one-winged angel, and Death Triangle won the first match of this series. The Elite came back to carry on Wayward Son, which was a nice touch. Very funny. Crowd loved that. There was also a fuck CM Punk chant, which I didn't have ever hearing ever in my life. But we now know how the niche crowd of AEW feels about CM Punk, which if CM Punk does come back as a villain, maybe this is something. Maybe this is something and they're working everybody. No, they're not working everybody. Okay, they're not working everybody. CM Punk was on Fight Pass, and the other announcers were joking about making sure that Punk doesn't do press conferences, and he was laughing on camera, but we'll see. There's a whole other thing with CM Punk there at some point, but I never guessed that we would have heard a crowd chant, fuck CM Punk, at any point in time, and it'd be really authentic and really kind of nasty. But this trios match, I really love the pace, the action. These six never have bad matches. The story, their feud, just everything here was absolute gold, I thought. The Kenny Omega, it was announced at some point during the show, or maybe it was shortly after the show, that Kenny Omega will challenge Will Ospreay for the at Wrestle Kingdom 17, January 4th, for the IWGP U.S. Championship. Tony Khan mentioned that they were going to be working some stuff with New Japan in the future. This is obviously part of that. It's also worth mentioning in the post-show press conference that Tony Khan said that the Elite have come back in their previous roles and have assumed responsibilities, including the video game backstage. And by the way, on the video game, I think the reason why the release is delayed is CM Punk related. They want to take CM Punk out of the game so that he doesn't get his royalties. If you'll remember back in 2013 or 2014, 2K Sports, I believe, tweeted at CM Punk saying, "Can you hear me now?" And CM Punk is like, "Yep." And all these royalties that I'm getting from the video game, and he's not a WWE talent. So the little legal thing there with CM Punk. While we're talking about Tony Khan's post-show presser, Tony Khan was asked point blank if CM Punk had anything to do with the Colt Cabana, with Colt Cabana not being on the roster, to which Tony Khan replied that Punk never asked for Colt Cabana to be removed from the AEW locker room. And then he justified the use of Cabana in the ROH title challenge of Chris Jericho, he thought it made sense given the other champions that Jericho had faced. Cabana is also, Tony Khan also noted that Cabana was 2-0 in Ring of Honor. So the booking made sense because apparently challengers for Chris Jericho, now wins and losses matter, but MJF only has now 4 wins on the year. He's 4-4. He's 500. With due respect to Tony Khan, your logic in this clear to me sports fib, I guess it works, but it's terrible optics. The Elite are rumored to be backstage. Jericho's, who that same week is saying that CM Punk told CM Punk to get out of the locker room in Chicago, and he's fighting Colt Cabana. Like, please, there's a sports fib here, and that's okay. It can be a sports fib. The other thing that made me giggle during the press conference as we kind of wrap up with this AEW, just a few more notes from me, and then I've got a thought on War Games coming up. I did giggle when I saw Jungle Boy Jack Perry eating while doing his press conference, his post-show press conference, which to me is a clear shot at CM Punk eating during his press conference in Chicago, but that's how I took it. Jack Perry got a very big win over Luchasaurus, making Luchasaurus tap out, which they didn't show on the replay, which annoyed me because you can show all the high spots you want, but you should replay the finish of Luchasaurus tapping out. That's a big moment in Jack Perry's career. But Jack Perry noted that for now, their story has ended. Keith Lee walked out on Swerve during their tag team championship match. Swerve and Our Glory lost to the Acclaimed because everybody loves the Acclaimed. And if you hear me shrugging my shoulders, that's because I still don't get Keith Lee. So help me out on Keith Lee. So I will say this in closing on my notes in AEW. This I thought was a really strong show. If you didn't watch it already, I'd suggest ordering the replay. Again, the first 90 minutes, 2 hours were fabulous. The rest of the show was excellent. I had my nitpicks. The MJF match, the pacing was just not enough, and I wouldn't put the title on him. And the Soraya Britt Baker match was a little slow and plodding. But Jade Cardell coming out in Thundercats gear, tremendous. Nice touch there. And she's getting better, by the way. She's getting a lot better with how she's presented, how she's selling, all that stuff. It's growing into it. I'm growing into my appreciation for her as a character, as she's growing up before our eyes, a homegrown talent, if you will. My final thought on this podcast relates to War Games, which is coming this Saturday night to TD Garden in Boston. Pre-game at Banners at 5:00. If you're going to the show and you want to come by, come have a drink, come buy me a drink, buy me some steak tips if you want to. Mike Riley will be making an appearance for all of the Mike Riley fans out there, or Sarge. He'll be making an appearance as well as Kevin Owens was announced as the 5th member on SmackDown going against the Bloodline. I'm happy to see that Owens is teaming with the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre, because with Kevin Owens reportedly having an MCL issue, there was a question as to whether he was going to be in the War Games match. As it stands right now, he is. I find it interesting that Sheamus is the headliner in the poster graphics. It's Roman and Sheamus as the headliners, and everybody else is in the background. I find that interesting, which probably means that Sheamus is going to be challenging Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship at the Royal Rumble, maybe? Or, future, like, Christmas edition of Raw, MSG house shows, something like that. But it feels like Sheamus is going to be the next challenger for Roman Reigns. As it stands right now, Kevin Owens is going to be in War Games. I wonder if he's actually injured to the point where he might get taken out before the match begins that night. And if he is, why not a Cody Rhodes surprise return? That would get a massive reaction. My hope is that I will have an extra show this week. There's something on the schedule that I think I'm going to get some access to. I don't want to promise anything, but hopefully I'll be able to bring you another podcast with a few different voices this week, but we shall see. And that's usually the kiss of death when I'm teasing something and being very vague about it. But hopefully I will see everybody at the Garden on Saturday for War Games. Please say hello. I'm just a normal wrestling fan like you are, who just happens to be able to talk into a microphone. So please say hello if you see me If you see Mike is charging $20 a photo. And he'll probably have autographs too. He'll have a gimmick table or something, I'm sure, banners. But in any event, enjoy your week of wrestling. Hopefully I'll see you all at War Games on Saturday night.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.